What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for the breath of your spirit upon your word this morning. Thank you because you're making it open and visible and clear for all to see. Thank you because your word is setting us on fire, and like a hammer is dissolving doubts and arguments and is reconditioning us this morning for your plans and your purpose. I give you praise. Holy Spirit, you are within me. You are my great help. My tongue you have anointed to speak like the pen of a ready writer. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. How many of you have been blessed so far at Faith Adventure? This is your biggest and your most impactful Faith Adventure. Amen, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 3. There are precious truths that I'm going to be sharing with you as God leads me that will cause you to take your cities. When you go back, you will dissolve doubts. You will run through troops. You will leap over walls. And obstacles on their own accord, as you engage the word of God and the strategies of God's spirit, are you with me? Will vanish. Because if you are a believer, then in agreement with God's word, we are saying that nothing shall be impossible to you. He didn't say some things. He said nothing shall be impossible to the believer. And I told you yesterday that the way into the city is the gospel. The way into the city is to move with a God and a kingdom agenda. Is to move with an agenda. When you move with an agenda, the city must fall to you. Romans 14, the Bible says, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. That's what it says. Romans 14, 17. It says, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. See, the kingdom of God is not about some of the mundane things that theological arguments try to pull us into. Whether to paint your nails this color or not, which is a sin. See, the kingdom of God is not about those mundane things. The kingdom of God is not a religion. The kingdom of God is a relationship. The kingdom of God is but the righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Passion Translation says about living in a spiritual realm. And listen, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, only the gospel can give it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It says first, amen, to the Jews, and also for the Jukuns and the Tiv and the Igalas. If you write your translation, you better make sure you put your name there. It says in the next verse, for therein, in the gospel, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Do you understand? If the kingdom of God is about righteousness, then somebody must be preaching it. That's how we establish it. And what is righteousness? Righteousness, God is no longer angry with you. God has made man. Are you getting me? He's Ali. God has made man his right-hand man. God has made man right. That is what we're establishing in the lives of people. That he's no longer angry with you. That the price has been paid. That he didn't just die for the pastor's sin. He died for the sins of the whole world. And we are calling men to receive forgiveness. And hear me, when they receive this forgiveness, they are made right like sin doesn't exist. That is what the kingdom of God is about. And listen, when men are right, they begin to do right. Your company begins to function right. Your business is right. He says it's about joy. It's about peace. Peace because we are justified. There can't be peace, amen, without justice. You know that. There can't be peace without justice. That is why it makes no sense when a particular community has experienced genocide and the person who is responsible for it is walking free. Then you said, just have peace. No, 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 no. Peace is established on the platform of justice. Because the question is, how do we correct the wrong? For there to be no animosity, for there to be no problem, how do we settle the wrongs? How do we make right the wrongs? And that's why sometimes men want to engage in violence or reprisal attacks or vengeance as a way to find what? Peace. That's why people find peace when someone who has wronged them is convicted in the court of law, because they believe that justice has been served. And the justice of God is a cross. That's why we can preach peace through this gospel. Because we can boldly tell people. See, we're not just saying that God just said, like they say in Tibbadensa, it's not just leave. No, no, no. His son paid for it. Do you get it now? So the justice of God, that Jesus met the demands that you couldn't meet, actually means that peace has been established between you and God. That's what Romans 5:1 says. Now, therefore, being justified by faith in God, we have what? Peace. Remember, you only have peace after you have been justified. Do you get it? And how were you justified? You were justified because somebody paid. Jesus paid. So God is saying, the score has been settled. So there is peace. So good news. God is not angry with anybody again. That is the kingdom of God. Not about arguing what to eat and what not to eat, what to drink, what not to drink. We can't build tents around such things. And let me tell you, sometimes we are so bothered about conduct and character. It is dangerous to try to enforce conduct and character when you don't establish identity. You can never make a goat as big as a cow. And feed a lizard all you want, it will never be a crocodile. Do you understand? A miracle has to take place so that the genetic makeup of that lizard is changed. It's when the genetic component of that lizard is changed, then feed it. It will be a natural process of its order to produce. Is somebody with me? And then, of course, joy in the Holy Ghost that only salvation brings. So this is what we preach. Listen, if you make it a point of contact that these three things be established in the lives of people, every city gate opens up to you. Pastor, that is the way to Makurdi. That you are forcefully moving as an ambassador. I told you yesterday, you're all ministers. Yes, sir. They say you're a minister for a minister for life. Yes, say, which ministry is that? It's called the kingdom. Amen. Kingdom ministry. And then you pursue it better than the minister of information, agriculture, and defense. Cities open for you. And then we saw that God knows that cities have spirits. I'm not going to go into all that, but that's not the focus of what God wants me to share with you this morning. But never make a mistake of thinking that cities are buildings. Every city is speaking a culture. So to just say, wow, you know, when we say the city is yours, guess what some of us are just thinking? Wow, the buildings are mine. They're just thinking buildings. Yes, that's part of it. But cities are not buildings. It's the people there that built the building. All right, okay. Amen. Daniel chapter 10, you know. I need to show somebody something. You know, some Christians are like, I've been attending Faith Adventure for 4 years. Man, things are rough. Things are tough. If I even attended 2 seminars here, 2 trainings there, I think, but man, I've not been able to break even. I don't know why. That's why the Bible says you cannot afford ignorance. Do you know anytime the New Testament talks about the devil, he speaks of it in such a way that presents it as, safe to say, the biggest problem with the believer is ignorance. Because, hello, because the devil hides in what? In anonymity. Someone say, what do you mean by that? The devil doesn't want you to know he exists. You know, the biggest lie the devil can tell you is that him, the devil, doesn't exist. The people who suffer from his hands the most are the people he has convinced he doesn't exist. But if you deny the existence of Satan, hello, then you deny the existence of God. You're an atheist. Somebody say, why? It's God who told us that there's a devil. Daniel 10, verse 1. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, notice, Persia was one of the greatest cities of the time. They were like the world power. A message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true. He says, but the appointed time was long. That means this message is true, but it was taking time. And he understood the message. So it takes more than understanding. Not like he didn't understand it. He understood it. But the Bible says the time was what? Was long. And had understanding of the vision. You know what the ministry should do. You know. You say, I'm armed. And that's why some people face frustration, especially pastors. You go back after a meeting, you say, look, this church, next year, it must be 2,000 members. Then at the end of the year, you're still wondering what to do with the empty seats. It's not like you don't understand the vision. It's like not like you don't understand the message. If they take you to a Bible school, they will offer you a doctorate degree. You get me? You have understanding. But it's taking what? too long. So the Bible says in verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. Another word there is praying. How? 3 full weeks. How many days? 21 days. Simple mathematics, 3 times 7 is 21. So verse 3 says, he said, I mourned. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 weeks were fulfilled. Now, I want you to notice. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. Listen, this is not a vision. He had fasted 3 weeks. Then on the 24th day, 3 days after he broke his fast, he went to stand by the river. You know why? The time was still too long. So, scripture says that as he stood by the Tigris River, verse 5, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. He thought he was a man. Whose waist was guarded with gold of Ophir. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. The Bible says, and I, Daniel, alone, I alone. That means as he was standing there physically at the river, he was seeing it alone. He was, remember, Daniel is not a beggar. Daniel is a minister. He's a government official. He says, I alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me, all those his aides, did not see the vision. He says, but a great terror fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. That means I am seeing something. They couldn't see what Daniel was seeing, but they could sense a presence. They just say, this place that Oga came, there is something here. And anything that will make an aide run away from his boss, that means the guy was truly scared. Imagine Oga Bobby, a general, with his aides, and then he begins to see something. By the time he looks around, his boys are running. He can't even tell them to come back, because what you are seeing, listen, don't be deceived. Can I speak to you? Don't be deceived. There are influences in your cities. You can enter a city and you can tell that there are spirits. Sometimes some people don't discern it. So they are just going around and trying to act like men. I remember when a pastor helped me teach about blood money, he asked me, he said, are you saying that someone cannot be truly rich without sacrifice? I said, try it. You can be comfortable without sacrifice. That is why cities breathe. Cities have a soul. If you enter a city, you can feel the soul of that city. There's a way everybody thinks. Am I talking to people? How many of you can? I know some of you, you are connecting what I'm saying. You can tell. There are cities you enter, you can tell that their soul is lean. They are stingy. They are meager. As you're coming there, you can sense that there's a way they think here. Enter the restaurants. The cups are small. The plates are small. Because the mindset that the people carry begin to manifest itself in the things they do. You can come to a city and you can perceive immorality. It's normal. There are spirits there. You can even enter into a city and you can tell that this city, there are money mongers here. People can do anything for money. So, you must be sensitive as a child of God. Are you listening to me? So you see, if you're a man that is void of understanding, you just carry a big box. I'm moving to the city. Hello? Then the city will begin to show you its ways. Because you will think you are just contending with men and buildings. You say, how come, you know, in this city, I want to apply for a job and everybody wants to see under my skirt. And we go there, they'll say, I'm nice. I am the correct person for the job. In fact, they will say, I've passed everything. Then after, again, they will start calling me to meet in room 408. Are you with me? In the words of Reverend Ayeni. He said, I'm just tired. And they say, we have taken over the city. So I've opened shop, everything they say we should do. I even changed the name. I met Pastor Joe, he helped me. I thought the problem with my business was the name. I was calling to Cricket Shop. Now he's calling it after use. Are you getting me? I've changed the name. They say my signboard is I use bad ink. Now I'm using his digital board now. After use. And people are still preparing to go to Karu Bridge. Are you with me? If you're from Abuja, you know what I'm saying. So there's a presence. And as a spiritual person, you must be able to navigate in the realms of the spirit. And there's only one answer for all this navigation we're talking about. It's the gospel. Listen, the only, in quote, movement that has not stopped after over 2,000 years is the gospel. So he said, great terror fell on them that they fled to hide themselves. This is what I want you to see, verse 8. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. The guy passed out. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking these words to me, I stood trembling. I mean, he was still shaking. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. Hear this. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourselves before your God, like some of you have been making decisions after yesterday's service, he said, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. I told you words are powerful. He said, what brought me here are your words. Notice, he now says in verse 13, but, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, to verse 1, sorry. Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that means the king of Persia at that time, his name is called what? The city of Persia had a prince or a king called Cyrus. Go to verse 13. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is not talking about Cyrus. There is a physical king that you can see. And then there's a spiritual prince that controls things. That's why Christians must be interested in positions. The Holy Ghost in us yearns to put princes in positions. You say, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia did what? Withstood me 21 days. Can you give me the NIV? Is somebody blessed here? Don't worry, I have two sessions this morning. Amen. He says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom or Persian city resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Did you get it? He said, Daniel, you opened your mouth and you cried. You called. God heard and sent me. As I was coming, they arrested me and detained me, even with the king. That means even the king of Persia is a prisoner of this prince that held me. And if Michael didn't come, see the word detain. You all know detain. Even if you have no experience, you should know what I'm saying. That's what police does when they arrest you. I've been detained, so I know what I'm saying. When you are detained, you'll be there with everything, you can move. It means you are restrained. See, I was coming with an answer. But as I was coming, a prince said, hey, arrest him. You can't touch my city. So Daniel is wondering. I have understanding. I have vision. But it's taking long. How come what I have seen here is taking time for it to do what? To manifest. And sometimes you are saying, God, you must do something. No, he has done something. And listen, sometimes guidance and counseling cannot stop this prince. So you will go for all the guidance and counseling. And the prince will say, yeah, yeah, talk to them. Are you with me? Sometimes crying doesn't stop the see, can I share one little secret about the devil with you? If you want to know it, let me share it. You can't suffer enough for him to pity you. The devil will never say, in case you don't know him, I know him, that's why I'm talking to you. You will never suffer to a point where the devil will say, all right, he has suffered enough. Give him some rest. Okay, that church, you have suffered that church for too long. Let them have some members. Let them rest more. Amen, amen. You can't be poor for too long. The devil does not understand pity. He doesn't know it. He's evil. He's wicked. He will start by stealing. From stealing, you think he's stealing things from now you're crying. He will graduate to destroying. Then after destroying, he will kill. So while you are crying and you lack understanding, get ready for the worst. It's until you get up. It's until you understand his maneuvers and begin to contend with him. Like Oga Bobby was sharing with us yesterday. And begin to contend with him. He said, I've delivered Sihon. I've delivered them to him. Now get up and begin to contend with him in battle. Until you understand these things and take your stand. Crying does not make him show you mercy. Explaining your problems to people doesn't solve it. I've even discovered that people ask you, how are you doing? It's a rhetoric question. They don't really want to know how you're doing. Have you ever met someone and said, how are you doing? You begin to say, I've not paid my rent. And they say, no, I was just asking. You know? I was just asking. So is somebody getting something this morning? Let me share a testimony with you. A particular brother, he sent me a message. Even this morning, he sent me a message because he's just so excited. He's been suffering for 2 years. Faithful brother, nice brother, intelligent brother. He finished with the first class. Had a great job. And then left the job, quit the job, and started a business with a beautiful business plan. Based on the business plans, things were supposed to go like this. But when he launched into the business, things started going like this. It got so bad. He got a job. While he's on that job, the man he was working with, things went south for the man. You know what I'm saying? The man couldn't pay them, laid them off. One Sunday, he was bringing his family to church. His car caught fire at filling station. He fixed it. He had a miscarriage. All manner of things were happening. Then he applied for a job. Beautiful resume. They'll say, come. In fact, he said, you go for some interviews. They'll say, wow, this is just what we need. We'll get back to you. And that'll be the end of the story. Nobody will call him. He will call them. They'll say, no, something came up. We'll get back to you. Get back to you was taking months. So there was a particular job he really wanted, and he met me and he told me, he said, Pastor, I can see the green light. While I was preaching, he was sitting down hearing me. While I was preaching, they now sent him a letter that, sorry, we are not taking you. He said, Pastor, I busted into tears. He called me. He said, sir, I need to talk to you. So I gave him an appointment. Met me on Thursday. So while he was just talking. As he was talking to me, I could see his eyes were teary. He's a hard-working man. He's an intelligent man. I could see the pain. After Covenant World Conference, he took that prophetic prayer. He said, I pray it every day. So he asked God, and that's what I'm teaching you, what again should I do? Can I speak to you?
Yes, sir.
When you sow a seed, it doesn't stop the devil from existing. I've heard some people say, seed I've sown. Even myself, I've given to God. I've given myself to God. No. And let me shock you. Just because you sow a seed, God will not say, that one is a seed sower. Don't go there. The devil is a universal problem. Don't make him personal. It is when you read some scriptures, your eyes will open. Do not count it strange, the Bible says, when you are facing, he said, your brothers all over the world are facing the same thing. The only thing the devil wants to make you feel is that your own is unique. He will say, look, I'm not troubling anybody the way I'm troubling you. So when he met me, he was frustrated. As he was talking, I calmed down. I said, look, you are close. I could see in his eyes. I've heard that. I said, your answer has come. He said, amen, sir. I said, then maybe we should just do something. I told him, when something stays too long, and you're always coming close, you have to take drastic measures. He said, like what? I said, maybe we should fast. And I'm not talking about intermittent fasting, where you eat within a particular window, 6 to 6. Some of you wake up by 5 and munch food till 6. Then buy a pack of sweet. It's what are you doing with it? He said, I don't want my mouth to go. If you are praying, you will not have time to be interacting with people that have anything to do with your mouth. That's the kind of fast I'm talking about. If it smells to you and your God. So I told him, I said, maybe you should just stay away, close up on everything, and 3 days, and drink just water. So So I prayed with him. I said, but I know this situation has turned around. He left my place that Thursday. He started the fast Friday. On Saturday, we came for prayer cruise. It was his first experience. This is how he was sitting in one place. But he was determined. He stayed, he prayed throughout. He was feeding on God's word. He was feeding. Don't bother about flesh. You see this flesh, it doesn't want any good thing. Even to win Olympics, the flesh doesn't want. Have you seen those athletes who run? Have you ever seen the camera zoom on their faces? Do you see the strain and the muscle? You will know that it's not flesh that is moving. There is something, it's sheer will driving them. Because what flesh is saying is, stop running now. And the guy said, I want to win gold. And the flesh is saying, then what? What is gold? Is somebody getting me? What is gold? I don't want gold. I don't want gold. Say, I've been doing this. This is my fourth year. I must win the gold. Leave me. Stop now. That's how flesh is. That's what the Bible says. Don't worry, we'll come there. If you yield to the flesh, the Bible says you'll die. So, after 4 days, after 3 days, amen. Whew. He was done. He said, but Pastor, beyond the tiredness of my body, I knew in my spirit I had laid hold on something. Then the wisdom of God came. And God said, send an email to this person and do this. Things started falling into place. He said that night he had something to do. As he was working on the thing, he was chatting with, somebody sent him an email from outside the country. So the time difference. God supernaturally kept him awake at that time to finish something on his computer. As he was there, he saw the mail. Instantly he replied. They said, okay, move to so-so place for the interview. And when he came there are people he had met before. And they said, it's you. Oh, we didn't know. Okay, all right. He was expecting tough questions. He said, they just kept saying, no, you already have the job. He has heard that before. You already have the job. You know, just go. We'll get back to you. After 4 days, they didn't get back to him. He called. In fact, he said, what is happening? He told himself, nothing's happening. Then he called them. Then they said, the HR hasn't gotten back to you. They got back to him. His wife was even having some challenges in her body. But that evening, he had gotten some drugs for her, and then the letter came. He said, Pastor, it was mixed emotion. We were happy. We didn't even know whether she was in pain or not, but we were just happy. It was mixed emotion. And they said they would like to know when he wants to resume. He said, when I want to resume, I've been waiting. Are you with me? Tomorrow I'm resuming. And they are paying him 4 times what he was paid before. If you have an idea of what he was paid before, you know what 4 times mean. And then they posted him to his station. They said he said, I don't have a house yet. They say usually we give 14 days, just apply. When he applied for his own, they gave him 28 days. And he's staying in a top-class hotel. And they are giving about 21,000, 18 to 21,000 naira every day for feeding. I don't know what he's eating. For the period. If he just went around saying, you know, this city, people are very wicked. They will tell you, go and come, go and come. All the days of my appointed time, I wait until my change comes. Brother, you will wait. Cities have souls. One day, this church is just suddenly going to explode. Be there, others are exploding. We're just going to explode. And when that time comes, you will know that the Lord called us into the city. He called you, Sinzo. My cell members, they might be two now, but we are waiting. The devil loves you waiting. Your only waiting time should be on God, not on circumstances. But you know the good news under the New Testament? There is no devil to detain our answers. Ephesians chapter 6. I've not entered my message for this one. It's the way the Spirit of God led me here that I'm speaking to you. Ephesians chapter 6. Somebody say amen. Amen. Is somebody blessed this morning? So don't enter your city with a carnal mindset. Let me tell you, you must understand the spiritual component of everything you do. That is what makes the physical body work. Are you with me? And you must learn how to lay hold on the spiritual element of anything you are doing. If it's business, if it's a job, you must understand the spiritual structures that uphold that thing so that the outside can work as it should. If you understand what I just said, let me stand up. You must understand it. So, packaging is good. Branding is good. It's very important. But you must learn the spiritual what? Component that makes it work. Moi moi and beans are the same thing, but if you plant moi moi, it will not grow. So as primitive as beans looks, as crude as it looks, that is the spiritual component of moi moi. So you can pass moi beans through different processes to arrive at akara and different things, but you must not despise that seed, that life. Prayer, God's word, giving, fellowship, church, they are the spiritual components of whatever you do. You are not going to church to make the pastor happy. It is a vital part of your work. You are not giving to help the church. No. It is a vital part of your work. You are not praying to make up the numbers. So I pray 6 hours. No, no, no. It's not to build your spiritual resume. You are not studying for knowledge. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? This is a core part of what you are doing. You're all quiet. I believe you're receiving. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil of the devil. For we do not do what? Wrestle against flesh and blood. The word wrestle there means one who positions himself, are you with me, in a way to sway you. That means there's a way see, the devil has strategies. So I said, why are you talking about the devil today? He's one of your biggest problems. Amen. He's there. You didn't know him. I know him. I'm teaching you. You don't need somebody who was delivered from Mami Water to come and teach you about the devil. Your pastor should teach you about the devil. What? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. And what? Powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So flesh and blood is not your issue. No man is your issue. It's the spirit controlling that man. So he says in verse 13, therefore, based on this, because of this, you do what? Take up the whole armor of God, that you may what? Be able to withstand in the evil day. Hi. That means there are evil days. He didn't say in case. There are evil days. He says so that when the evil day comes, you will be able to do what? To withstand. You know why? That evil day will test what you are made up of. It will test what you've been putting on. He will manifest in an evil day. And having done all, so that you can do what? Stand. Kai. That means your work is to remain in a particular position. Next verse says, stand therefore. It's a standing position. Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with what? Truth. See the camp. Hello. If you see the kind of armor he said you should guard yourself with, it gives you an idea of your kind of warfare. If I say, come, let's go to farm. Follow me to the farm. You enter my house. Let's go to farm. I give you a pistol. I say, hold it. Amen. I bring a knife. I say, hold this knife. Then I bring bullets. That means it's another kind of farm. Because the kind of equipment I'm giving you defines the word farm. So the kind of equipment the Bible says we should put on defines our warfare. Meaning that there is something you need truth for. There is something you need righteousness for. That means there is something about the truth of God's word. There's something about the truth of God's word that keeps you standing. There's something about righteousness that keeps you standing. He says the next verse. And having shod your feet, hey, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hear me. That is why if you are not actively engaged in the preaching of the gospel, there's a missing element in your spiritual armor. See, preaching the gospel is not just us motivating you to preach. It is a vital part of your armor. That means, you have the truth of God's word. You understand righteousness. Are you preaching it? Are you involved with the gospel? People are quiet. Oh, yeah, just involved with your wife, children. No. So, being involved with the gospel is part of spiritual armor. See, blessed is he, Jesus said, who is not offended in me. May nothing make you offended in Christ and his message. Then verse 16. Above all, taking the what? The shield of faith. So you need to understand faith. With which you will do what? You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Hello. You don't quench fiery darts with truth. You don't quench fiery darts with righteousness. You don't quench fiery darts just because you are given to the gospel. You quench fiery darts with what? With faith. Every armor has its place. These armors are not visible things. That means you are fighting invisible battles. And what the devil does is to hide in anonymity and make you feel. You know how some people interpret their business? It's because I did not put this one. So they go and include that one. Then when they include that, nothing works. They say, it's because, you know, every time he's giving you something. I was talking to one of our pastors, you know. He was telling me about a church member who stopped coming to church. And they had not seen the person in a while. And they met the person and they were asking, we've not been seeing you. And the person was sharing testimonies. Sharing testimonies. You know, people are like that. Don't think that because you are not seeing me in church, I'm not doing well. Have you heard such things? In fact, all this period I've not been seeing me in church, let me tell you some of the things God has been doing. I just got a car. Just got a house. So she was just sharing testimonies. I said, the devil is strategic. Anything that will draw you closer to him, he will give you room to do. I want you to see someone who say, hi, for many years, they used to tell us that if we don't tight, our lives will be tight. Now I'm not tighting. My life is better. I'm doing better. All those lies, let me tell you the truth, it's not tight. It's walk. No problem. Anything that makes you leave God, the devil will allow you. He's evil. That's how some of you went, they say, why were you not? We didn't see you in church. We didn't see you in church on Wednesday. You will not understand. I will not understand. It's in me to understand. Who cares if I understand? Do you belong to a home cell church? No. I'm in too many things. I'm in St. Gabriel Old Boys Association. I'm the current secretary. I am in this thing. I'm in this one. So I think Sunday is okay. Do you understand what I mean? Sunday is okay. Are you a covenant partner? Yeah, I think my name is there. But yeah, I think I am. But I want to focus on 31st Ladies. And you see this church, the problem is everybody's pulling. I'd never talk like that. You will never hear me talk like that. Pulling. I am involved in the work of God and I see it as a demand. The one the devil will make me do is a greater work. Paying for cancer is a greater work. You call it a pull. It's not a pool. See, nothing makes me cut down on God. That's the beginning of trouble. Anything you are so involved in that your prayer time is reducing, reduce that thing. Before you used to pray 1 hour. But these days, you have entered into new realms of grace. 15 minutes does it. You say, look, it's not those things, it's buttons. So now you pray while you're putting your tie. A prosko. You are void of understanding. And there's all of you, when you watch it, you say, it's true. Then you begin to live your life by it. So that the first time you ever have ₦1 million in your account, ₦1 million hits your account, your prayer will be what that comedian say. You get up in the morning and say, Holy Ghost, how you doing? And he goes, so, Lagos, totally, stubble, and they're saying, hello. Is he asleep? He said, no, in returning and in rest. You know, let me tell you one rhema. You know, the Bible says, he who has entered into his rest has ceased from his works. Some of these are prayer's works. You will soon walk. I was with a man of God and he was trying to talk down on prayer. Because he asked me, he was opportunity to stay with me in the same hotel. He now said, Pastor Rami, do you sleep at all? I said, yes. So the following day, he now started sharing a rhema with me about prayer. I just laughed. I said, if you don't want to pray, please don't pray. Don't stop me. That's not why we're roommates. Are you getting me? If you don't pray, don't pray. And I didn't wake him up. It's something that brought us here. I don't know where you are with your own God. Are you getting me? Me, I know where I am. I don't know how sleep works between you and God. But me, I know how prayer works between me and God. Then look at this. This is the pathway. Ephesians 6. My time is up, but I'll round up now. Amen. For the first session. Says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That means there's a bit of difference between truth and the sword of the Spirit. They're not the same thing. Truth is logos. The Spirit is rhema. Because this word here, which is the word of God, is rhema. Because if you hold only truth and you have not received a rhema, some situations don't leave. So you might find out, you might be quoting scripture, quoting, but you need a sword. 18. Message translation. Let's see how the message puts it. In the same way, that as you are putting all these things, do what? Prayer is what? Essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Sometimes I don't like that translation. Like it. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. If your prayer is only about you, something is amiss. See, let me tell you, you come to a realm of prayer where it's nations you are seeing, souls you are seeing. This is what we're talking. Where you are warring for the souls of men, you become a general. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Did you all get it? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then I round up, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read verse 3. For though we do what? Please read it. Amen. Don't walk according to the flesh. Don't strategize according to the flesh. Don't play according to the flesh. Look at the next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. He says, verse 5, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me tell you the sum total of that verse. Don't think human. Think like a God. I might not be able to fully explain that, but that's what it's saying. Your warfare is always a constant struggle, either to think on this earthly plane or to think like who God has made you. That's where you win or lose. And let me tell you, the biggest work of the spirits over cities is that they influence what? Mindsets, and shape cultures. So to enter into those places, you have to go like a god. It's gods that take over what? Cities.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.